Sisters.
We are the Satellite Sisters. Welcome to the show. You know, not every conversation will change your life, but any conversation can. I'm Liz Dolan. I'm here in Santa Monica today where it's just, I had to turn the heat on, sisters. It has plunged into the 50s here in Santa Monica, California. So I cranked up the heat. Julie Dolan, you're in Dallas, Texas. How are you?
It's springtime here in Texas. It's beautiful, sisters. And I understand the new trend for spring 2017 is you're supposed to take your hygge outside, Leanne.
Oh, okay? How's that possible? I thought it was all about cozy candlelight.
I know, but you're supposed to like build fires and put blankets and, okay, you know, candlelight. And just hygge outside, Leanne.
All right, okay? I'm on it. We can do that here. We're totally, hygge'd up out here. Hygge-licious, yeah.
Julie, it also sounds like springtime might be about allergies.
It might, yes, everything, everything, literally everything is in bloom or falling from the sky.
I hear you.
And Leanne, in Pasadena, same deal.
I love my wisteria, but it's like a death trap. Close the windows. Close the windows.
Really?
Looks so beautiful, but really, a lot going on. A lot happening out there. A lot happening out there in the backyard.
Okay, well, we got a lot going on the show. We have a whole block. Leanne's calling Sisters in the News. I like it, sister. That sounds good.
All right. I was thinking of you guys all weekend. Going to tell you why.
Julie, you promised on, by the way, yesterday's Madam Secretary recap was hilarious. I was happy to be replaced again. Julie, back where you belong on the Madam Secretary recap. But, you know, because there is no better line in TV this week than, no, you're the toddler. You're the But speaking of toddlers, you promised on the Madam Secretary recap you're going to take down children's museums.
Yeah, they got to go. All right. Urban Nana says children museums out. OK, they have to go. And I'm going to explain why.
All right. And I have an entertainment alternative to March Madness. You know, I'm assuming that your brackets are completely busted by now. I'm sure that's true of most of the country. So I have another bracket you can sign up for. And then a few notes on Operation Sea Turtle, where I am with Operation Sea Turtle. But Leanne, what's going on with you?
Well, okay, this weekend, I just want to shout out to the USA fencing team. I had the opportunity to go to a fencing Grand Prix this weekend in Long Beach. It was our finest fencers versus the world's finest fencers. So it was all the folks that you saw at the Olympics fencing again in the foil, not the épée or the saber. And
I still don't even know the difference.
Liz, ask me anything later. I know Julie has to go somewhere, so we're moving through this show. But I am now I now consider myself part of the fencing lifestyle, which is what we heard all about this weekend, and a fencing expert. So, at least.
So what do you characterize as a fencing lifestyle?
Exactly,
have you taken
Julie.
Wearing all white, or you know, a mask, or what is it, Liam?
You know, the director of USA Fencing was explaining it's like the squash lifestyle, but with weapons. So that's it.
Doesn't help if you're not currently living the squash lifestyle.
There's a whole fashion line coming. All I could say is it was really fun. Both the finals in the men's and the women's foil included an American, Alex, remember him from the Olympics, Marcialis, who won the silver medal. That was the first single silver medal in foil since 1932. He got a silver. He fell to the Russian. It was very dramatic. Very dramatic. But the American woman, Lee Kiefer, who just won the NCAA tournament for Notre Dame, she won a gold medal. And that was also against a Russian. So it was fantastic to see world-class athletes doing their thing. It was great.
I like the fact that the Cold War is back, though.
Yeah, it's great.
The USA-Russia thing. You know, it's good to have a metaphor for real life.
It is.
Sport. That's what it's for.
It's fantastic.
Now, is this
for
popular, Leanne? Did a lot of people show up in Long Beach to watch the fencing match?
The stands were full,
duel?
Julie.
Do they call it a duel or a match?
That's a good question. I think it's a match. I think it's called a match. We did have like a cheat sheet. But here's the funniest thing. You know what they actually say? En garde. They say that. Like they're... Every time
alone is reason to go.
Right.
Yes.
They say, en garde, prête, allez. It's in, you know, En garde, ready, ready, set, go, basically in French. So
that is a lifestyle right there. The exactly. fact that they're calling things out in French. Yes. I mean, you just don't get that in like American football, right?
No. So, and they have a video replay, but because they're wearing that helmet, that's not that helpful. So when the players can call for the fencers can call for a video replay, they just make the sign of a video screen, which it's actually effective, like in all of life. If you just want a replay, just turn to someone and make the sign of a video screen. It was excellent. It was very good competition. It was very exciting, and it was fun to see world-class athletes up close. So thank you, USA Fencing, for inviting us. Thanks to the U.S. Olympic Committee for inviting us. We're on board. We're on board with the fencing lifestyle and wherever that may lead us, really.
Just all things Olympic.
Yeah.
You're just going to get yourself an Olympic blazer and just show up at events.
I may. It's as good as anything else. It's as good as my other alternatives, really. So, but there's a lot of news this weekend, and I have to tell you guys, I don't often think of you 24/7, but I really did think of Liz and Julie all weekend as I was watching tape of some of the recent news stories. And I have to say this, the Satellite Sisters listening audience, I'm sure over the years, as they hear Liz talk about her career or summit she's at or meeting she's in or hard business decisions she's had to make, I am sure they have asked themselves, I wonder what it's like to be in a business meeting with Liz Dolan. And when I was watching the videotape of Chancellor Merkel and the president, I was thinking, oh my gosh, that's Liz has been to the Angela Merkel School of Body Language. I mean,
you think?
The eye roll, it was the slow head shake with just the disbelieving eyes. That's a patented Liz Dolan move. You know what I'm talking about, Jewel.
I know it. I've been the recipient of that, at some of our brainstorming sessions where Liz maybe didn't feel that my ideas were up to snuff.
That's right.
You say there are no bad ideas, but there actually are.
Yes, Liz, you have told us that. And clearly, there is a difference between branding strategy and branding tactics, right? And most of the remaining four sisters, we usually just come up with tactics, don't we, Leanne?
Yes. Yeah. So that's what it reminded me of. Like watching that tape, I was like, my gosh, those two were like separated at birth, Liz and Angela Merkel. It's incredible.
Thank you, Leanne.
You're welcome, Liz. And then, of course, there was a lot of news disturbing about North Korea.
I know.
Secretary of State did some talks with North Korea, some talks with China, but he came home early because he said he was, quote, fatigued. And it occurred to me, who's never fatigued? Julie Dolan.
Julie Dolan.
Indefatigable. Like, if he needs a deputy assistant state, call Julie Dolan. She is literally indefatigable. I mean, when we started Satellite Sisters, people who don't know this, Julie lived first in Bangkok and then in Moscow. And we wouldn't get together a lot because it was a long flight for Julie and expensive. But when she came, she just hit the ground running. She'd have like 12 Starbucks before noon. She would just hit the ground running. She'd execute at a high level. And Liz, remember how she always had that dang roller bag with her? Like, where was she going? I don't know.
She was always about to head off to her next thing. We were not it. We never knew what her next thing was.
Yeah. I mean, meetings in New York, meetings in L.A., the set of the Oprah Winfrey Show. There's Julie. There's the Starbucks. There's that black roller bag. So that's what I thought.
So you want me to spend some time in Asia? Go back to Pyongyang, perhaps, and work something out?
Yeah. The State Department needs a deputy assistant secretary, which I know they're a little light on now. You're the one, because no time zones, Julie. You've got the black roller bag. You're ready to go. There's Starbucks all over the world now. I mean, the region. Sign her up, sir.
Yeah. If you had one of those planes that said United States of America on it, you would be there.
Right.
You would just go wherever you needed
really
to
help
go.
Me. That would help me a lot. Yep.
Yeah. Indefatigable Julie Dolan. So that's what I was thinking when I was watching the news this weekend.
Well, it's funny, Liam, because you think, there are a lot of women that have been out there doing the job for a long time throughout American history. Many of our most recent secretaries of state obviously are female. But I saw something in the New York Times last week that really surprised me. And it's a sort of a good news, bad news scenario. The good news is that the New York Historical Society is opening an entire floor completely devoted to women's history. And so the fourth floor will be a new center enshrining a spectrum of contributions from American women. The first one is called Saving Washington, and it will focus on women's contributions in the early years of the United States, especially those of the former First Lady, Dolly Madison.
Dolly Madison, yeah.
One of my favorites. Mm-hmm. We just really know her really as an ice cream brand, but she was a real person.
Yes.
And she really did a lot in the early years of the Republic. And but the thing that surprised me is that there are no museums in America devoted to women's history. I thought,
really?
Yeah, that's what it says. It says in America, there are museums devoted to spies, to roller skating, and to Bigfoot. But so far, half the population sort of told what they describe as the margins of narratives focused on something else. So there's like, or it's a narrower focus, like the National Museum of Women in the Arts in Washington, or National Women's Hall.
Well, they do have in Fort Worth, which I would recommend to everyone who comes to Fort Worth, Texas, is they have the Cowgirl Museum, which is really excellent. But you're saying that's too narrow of a focus.
Yeah. Or it's a yes. It's not the entire spectrum of women in America, though that sounds great. A lot of these other places are great. I'm sure the National Women's Hall of Fame in Seneca Falls would be great. So but I've never been there. And this new one in New York City, I thought, well, I'm going to be in New York this spring. I would like to take this in. Of course, I think when they put together this exhibit for the spring of this year, they had a different historical context.
Maybe.
They got to have some
blank
minds. In there.
You know, because they probably committed to this a year or two ago. And, you know, so they took their shot. Good for them. And they're going with it no matter what. So I just thought I'd call that out. If you're in New York at the New York Historical Society, which I believe is that beautiful building up on Central Park West, but it doesn't say here exactly where it is. Anyway, so I would check that out if you get a chance.
Liz.
Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. Mm-hmm. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. Do I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's. Okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you, it's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So, PROS, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, PROS. PROS is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And PROS is spelled P-R-O-S-E. pros.com/sisters. Thanks, PROS. Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, Just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life, aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
No kidding. I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going, like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the mega moisture duo. Yes. You can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria algae body oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria collagen body oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz, your youthful yeah. glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea.
And in other related news, I was shocked to read a headline today in the LA Times that says, and I will read it, decades later, Nevada legislature tries for a do-over to ratify the Equal Rights Amendment. Did you know that the Equal Rights Amendment, which, you know, it did not get ratified by the 1982 deadline set by Congress. It still needed three more states then. It is still alive. Did you have any idea that 35 years later, there were people out there working on getting it ratified by the necessary number of states, even if it's just symbolic? Did you realize that?
I did not know that. I have an ERA button in my jewelry box. I'm taking it out, Leanne.
Put it back on, sister, because it is still relevant. Yeah, Nevada has voted to send it to the full state Senate for ratification. This woman has been working for 24 years, even to get a hearing on this in Nevada. But it's going to the full Senate. And if it passes, then they will only need two more states to ratify the ERA. And there are six states out there still calling for ratification: Utah, Arizona, Missouri, Florida, Virginia, and North Carolina. All right. So people out there are still working on this. The National Organization of Women has a strategy. It was a three-state strategy. Now it's a two-state strategy. It's unbelievable. I had no idea. I thought it was just dead. And
maybe we can all get behind this. How about that? It could be very unifying for the country.
Again,
I like it.
It didn't pass the first time.
But it's purely symbolic, right, Leanne?
Here's the thing. It could then be tested at the Supreme Court, possibly, because Congress set the deadline, which is arbitrary and unusual. So,
that's pretty much Congress's specialty, yeah. right? The arbitrary and the unusual. Doesn't the Constitution demand them to be arbitrary?
So here's what it says. If you've forgotten what the controversial Equal Rights Amendment says: equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex. So there you go. That's it. It doesn't, you know, I know.
That's outrageous, Leanne. That's outrageous.
So supporters of this still working away think that Virginia may be close. They may have some action there. And surprisingly, Arizona, which is not really known as a wild and crazy state, but because Sandra Day O'Connor, such a big symbol of women's right there, and she's from there, they think that maybe that could be the tipping point for Arizona. So it's out there. It's happening. Well done. Well done, Nevada. Hey, we're in no hurry. We're in no hurry, apparently.
Right. You have to, I mean, sometimes you have to wait for the good things, right?
Yeah. I think one thing I learned in the last election, Leanne, is that we're supposed to call it Nevada. So,
is it Nevada? Okay. That's hard for us from the East Coast to say.
I know.
That.
If you're from the East Coast, you just can't do it. But
it's nothing
Nevada.
Personal. Yeah. It's nothing. Yeah. It's like I'm supposed to call that college Gonzaga, which I can't do. It's Gonzaga, if you grew up on the East Coast. So anyway, there you go. It's happening, people. ERA. Julie, get out that button. Get it out.
I'm firing that button. I'm putting it on. Okay, I'll be good to go. You know, Liz, I was listening to you talk about the Women's History Museum. I think that's a great idea. What I think is a terrible idea that I wanted to talk about with both of you is children's museums. Now, you know, as a grandmother,
really, you think this is a bad idea?
I think they're terrible. I'm going to explain why. I'm recently back. Urban Nana did a week, 10 days in Brooklyn. I was helping out there, and I had on the occasion to go to the Brooklyn Children's Museum, which is the oldest children's museum in the country. So just so that you know, it's very high quality children's museum. I also frequently take my grandchildren who are here in Dallas to the Museum of Science and of Nature and Science here in town, which has a giant children's section to it as well. And I hate it. Can I say that? I just hate these children's museums. And I have some very specific reasons. Number one, they're dark. I mean, you have a young toddler, you have a young child. The last thing you want to do is take that child into a dark space with lots of other people, okay? But that's what a children's museum is all about. Somehow they have to have that mood lighting and they think it makes it more exciting, but the general level of light in children's museum is very low. So, I mean, you get in a panic as soon as you enter the place because you're worried you're going to lose someone in the darkness. Now, okay, of course they're noisy. You know, they're very, very noisy because there are so many children in a children's museum. There's so many children. And then if it wasn't enough that they have all those voices, every exhibit makes noise, okay? There's popping, there's blasting, there's nonstop videos, there's banging, there's everything is interactive. And so if you're trying to have a meaningful experience with your grandchild or your child, it's not happening in a children's museum because you can't hear yourself. You can't hear them. And then they insist on having things wet, okay? Why do we have to have water play? Why? I mean, they're all wet, okay? So it's dark, it's noisy, and it's wet. Now, they give, you know, they have these adorable little raincoats or adorable little smocks that are supposed to keep the child dry when they're doing the water play. Well, you know, that doesn't work. So you end up with a wet child. Okay. And then, of course, it is a perfect conduit for any cold or flu virus, you know, just swimming around in all that water. Okay. And there's no amount of hand sanitizers that is going to protect you from so many little hands. They're little hands. They're all over the walls. They touch everything, those kids, everything.
There's no defense against that.
There's no defense. But my main objection is their limited resources, meaning that they may only have one video display, or they may only have one drum, you know, or they have one set of blocks. And there are too many kids for the number of exhibits. So this past week, when I was there with my adorable and delightful Josephine, I wouldn't say I was aggressive, but I certainly was assertive when it was Josephine's turn, okay, to use the video display that she wanted to see, okay? Now, I didn't push that child, okay? He did say to me when I asserted Josephine's turn at the terminal that this 4-year-old boy turned to me and said, "Sharing is caring." And I said, "No, not today. It's not." You see, yeah,
where'd you hear that, loser? Yeah,
that's sharing
what you say in a New York museum.
Sharing is caring. I mean, there's just not enough. I mean, we're all struggling, fighting for that. And, you know, museums know this because they want you to join. They want you to do a year's membership.
Yeah, damn museums. They want you to join.
But, Leanne, the reason why they want you to join, what the major benefit that they give you is membership hours, which is what they're saying is we realize we have created a dark, wet, noisy environment with limited resources and too many kids. So if you pay all this extra money, you can come when the museum isn't open, and then your precious child will have more time in this environment.
Well, that's, I think, one interpretation of membership. The other would be just supporting the idea that all kids should have access to learning tools. So you're right,
Leanne, but there is no access. You have to understand, it's not happening there. There's just aggression going on.
Like, no, then okay? Just go to the ball pit at McDonald's. Like, seriously, it is the same thing. I agree. I'm not a lot of problems with these children's museums because we have one near ours and this happens all the time. They raise all this money to open them, but they can't, they don't have any endowments to sustain them. And yeah. So they're not able to refresh things, update the exhibits, things like that, because, oh, everyone signs on and then it's a done deal. They're not fully endowed. So, and that's a problem for funding at any museum endowment. But
yeah. I want it to be a good experience.
Liz, you know, we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do.
because
there are just so many fun things to frame, Leanne, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing. To get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah, any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leanne, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? Yeah. That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge. Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling there with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for part of the summer, yeah. I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. Butcher Box gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
Doesn't sound like it, though. It doesn't sound like you were really trying.
You think it's me, not the museum.
I do.
Did Josephine appear to be enjoying herself?
Well, only thanks to my assertiveness, Liz, shielding her from things that were going on there, you know?
Shielding her from four-year-olds who say things like sharing is caring.
Yes.
Yeah, Jill, I think just a park then is good for you. I mean, I know it's cold in Brooklyn and you have to go. It is the bane. Or just stay in the apartment. Don't go out.
No, I like to get out. I think we just need to reexamine children's museums. Yeah. I know we're going to get a lot of hate mail about this.
Well,
I don't
address
care.
It to Julie.
Okay. Send it to me. Send it to Urban Nana, because I dare you to go to a children's museum with a child and see what that experience is like. I'm just providing feedback.
They are chaotic. I will agree that they are chaotic, and you're entitled to have a love-hate relationship with them. But you're also entitled not to go. If you then don't go.
Okay. All right. Well, let's move on then. It is Tuesday.
We were going to take a quick break here, right?
Yes, we
okay.
are.
Yes, we're going to take a quick break to thank one of our sponsors, and then we're going to be right back with Julie's Tuesday Trends.
And thanks, Satellite Sisterhood, for supporting the people that support us.
Okay, we're back. Now that Julie got that children's museum thing off her chest, some trends, Julie.
Just really one trend we're talking about today, refrigerators. Okay, Liz, Leanne?
That's a trend?
Yes, there's a lot going on with refrigerators, Liz. Okay, and I'm going to explain it to you. But first of all, I want to know, how do you feel about your refrigerator?
I love our refrigerator. Yeah.
You love yours?
I do.
I enjoy mine. I read about all those newfangled refrigerators, and I just think, why would I want a refrigerator to do that?
Well, like Liz, it can do quite a bit. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, do you know it really, what they want refrigerators, I thought this would appeal to you, is in the same way that your phone has become sort of, you know, sort of the access to your, that is your individual device. They want the fridge to be your family device, okay? That this should be the center, the command post of your operation, okay? Mm-hmm. How about that? Mm-hmm. And now they have refrigerators that are computer equipped so that they can forecast the weather. They can track expiration dates of food. You can order groceries from your refrigerator. Obviously, it can connect to speakers, so you can have music. It can sync your family calendar. It can display photos and keep track of your to-do lists. What do you think?
I don't know. I just have so many other devices that already do that, except for the expiration date thing. But I have a laptop and I have a phone that do all of the above.
Yeah, so you don't.
I'm laughing, imagining Liz, who lives alone, standing in her house, like spending a lot of time programming her refrigerator in a galley kitchen.
Okay, but Laurie, well, let me appeal to you on an energy saving basis. Do you realize that they've did some study that people spend 10.4 hours a year staring into an open refrigerator? Okay.
That I'm surprised it's that low. I feel like you double that for me. I would say that's my issue. Like, I don't want to stand in front of the refrigerator any more than I do. Like, that's not a good long-term health prognosis for me. Oh, I'm going to enter in a calendar and item and then, you know, have a snack. It's not so good. But go ahead, Joel. I know you're trying to make
the case. What they're saying is that they are creating, they want to create sort of displays on the front of the refrigerators that are going to let you know what's happening in your refrigerator. In some cases, they are windows that can be tinted and then untinted so you can look in to see the status of the things in your refrigerator. Or it can
mean instead of just opening the door and looking at it.
Right. You don't want to open the door, Liz. You're saving energy. Okay. You're not going to just open the door and stare at the refrigerator. You're going to press a button on your display, front display of your refrigerator, and it's going to provide you a window into your refrigerator that you can stare at the window, Liz, instead of opening the door.
Well, I don't need to open the door because there's never anything in my refrigerator. I mean, I've got like six kinds of mustard. I know what's in there.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, how about
I also know that what is in there is rotted.
Okay. So this is a problem with the windows as far as I'm concerned. It seems like it would be now just one more thing that you have to keep super neat.
Exactly.
Just having, a display of the styrofoam or plastic containers of your leftover food. It's not going to look good with this glass panels. So that may be something. What about voice recognition, Liz? Would you like a refrigerator that has voice recognition?
I still haven't even developed a relationship with Siri, might have some use to me. And even there's stuff that my car is supposed to be able to do that I haven't really mastered yet. So, no, I don't need a third device. I should be and I have one of those smart TVs I'm supposed to talk to. So the refrigerator would be fourth in line of like appliances I'm supposed to have a personal relationship with. I'm just not interested.
You're not into that. But, no. Leanne, how about you? You're at your Vons, your favorite grocery store.
Right.
And you have a Samsung refrigerator that has three cameras in the refrigerator. So it takes a photo every time someone opens and closes the refrigerator. That way you know whether you're out of milk or you're out of juice or you need, more sparkling water, whatever. That and then you would be able to look at those, access those pictures on your phone while you're at Vons.
Whew, that's a lot. No? In theory, it's good. But in practice, when you have teen boys, you could have a thing of milk that is pretty much dead, but they're going to put it back in the refrigerator. So you're going to check on the milk, which is really the only thing I'm super concerned about. And you go, I have a full thing of milk in there. And then you're going to get home and there's going to be like two swallows of milk left. So if they can, maybe they can do it by weight. It's just it's just a lot of tools. I'm with Liz.
It's a lot of checking in with things. Like, oh my God.
With an appliance. So
All right. Well, here's
you know who could have used it though, Julie? I would say, as you're describing this, being able to see like who reached in and took the last of something.
Yeah.
Our mother would have enjoyed that because she was constantly trying to figure out who took the last can of Fresca or who took the last yogurt, right?
Because she
would eat the stuff she had for herself. And she was always trying to get to the bottom of who did that.
Right. Or she would have a refrigerator full of food that she'd say, you can't eat any of that because it's for Saturday,
Yeah.
It's for other people. It's for company that's coming. So have a nice glass of water.
Okay. Well, speaking of water, let's get to what is the most polarizing issue associated with refrigerators. And that is the water and ice dispenser in the door. Some people love it. Some people hate it.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't care.
I didn't know that was a question. I thought there was more to that question.
It's funny. I was thinking about that this weekend, Julie, because my refrigerator here in Santa Monica doesn't have anything on the door, and I'm fine with that. I have a filtered pitcher of water inside my refrigerator if I want cold water. But in the little bungalow in Bend, there is the water dispenser on the door. And, I kind of like it. I kind of like not having to open the refrigerator to get water. So I wouldn't necessarily change out my refrigerator just for that purpose. But if you have it, it's a nice feature.
Yeah, I like it. And the kids use it. Everyone in our family uses it. And in LA, you can't drink the tap water because it tastes terrible. So you need filtered water. It tastes terrible and it's warm. So you need cold filtered water. I like it. I got no problems with it. Why is it controversial? How is it controversial? I guess
people because people like sleek lines on their refrigerator. They want it to look like something in Architectural Digest.
Oh, okay.
They don't want all that mechanics showing. Mm. But other people, you know, it's just a practicality. I mean, I guess the thing is when you buy a refrigerator, it's for a long time. So right. If you have all this tech stuff in it, you know, in 10 years, there's going to be all new tech stuff. And that, you know, whatever was very state of the art in 2017 is not going to be very state of the art 10 years later.
Yeah.
So
I'm just imagining Liz in her apartment yelling at her fridge, "Hey, get me a glass of wine." And like the neighbor downstairs calling and complaining like that. Just pour me a glass of wine.
Then it would have to deliver it to me in the living room too, you know, to really extend that all the way. Then it starts to get useful.
Okay.
But now you're into robot land again, another thing that allegedly we're all going to have soon and you're going to be talking to and giving orders to. Or how about Alexa? Do either of you guys have one? I don't have one of those.
No. I don't trust her at all. Not one bit. No, she's not moving in with me. That's all I can say.
Okay, well, there is a lot of refrigerator news, Julie. You are right. I had no idea. But moving on, for those of you who are out there and your March Madness brackets have been totally busted, you know, sayonara, Villanova, Duke, whatever, I have an alternative March entertainment contest for you. And it's called, instead of March Madness, this is March Sadness. And March Sadness, I heard about this. This weekend I was in Bend, and Oregon Public Broadcasting ran a story about this on a show they do called State of Wonder. But it's actually a contest born on the internet, but created by a woman named Julie Hahn in Boise, Idaho. And it's an annual contest to find the saddest song.
Oh,
it's really a good idea. So there are eight categories and there are eight songs in each category, and it's bracketed, and it is very exciting to watch, you know, as you go week by week and people are voting whether your favorite songs or favorite artists are progressing. So for instance, this year, and every year her eight categories are slightly different. So this year her categories are It's All Over, which, you know, sort of speaks for itself. So that includes the songs like Honey by Bobby Goldsboro, The Last Goodbye by Jeff Buckley. There's a category called So Far Away. So you have Sleeping by the Band. You got a bunch of really great songs in there. And there's a whole category that's duets, which obviously would include Sounds of Silence by Simon and Garfunkel and Fathers and Sons by Johnny Cash and Fiona Apple. This is a favorite category. It's called Past Their Prime. And the way she describes it, these are relationships that have just gone bad, or artists themselves who are way past their prime but are still creating these songs, or both. So in this category, Past Their Prime, you have Wichita Lineman by Johnny Cash, and you also have Keep Me in Your Heart by Warren Zevon. But there are a lot of good songs in there. Then, of course, there's the power ballad category includes I Will Always Love You by Dolly Parton. It's hard to vote against that.
Yeah.
That's a sad one.
More Than a Feeling by Boston. That's going to make it in there every year.
I hate Boston.
There's a whole. Well, good. Then you can vote against them.
Yes.
Then there's a category that is drinking. You can imagine how many really sad drinking songs there are. You know, everything from like The Bottle by Gil Scott-Heron, The Rehab by Amy Winehouse, and all kinds of stuff in between. War is a category. So you got your Danny Boy, and you got the band played Waltzing Matilda by The Pogues. And then my favorite category, I think of as the Dolan Family category. She just decided this had to be its own category every year because there were just so many sad songs. This category is called Sad Steam. And this is just sad songs by Bruce Springsteen.
Oh.
So you've got, excellent. You know, it goes without saying, The Ghost of Tom Joad, Youngstown, Streets of Philadelphia and The River. Just four of the many songs that are in this year's Sad Steam category. In fact, if you go to the brackets right now, this week it's The River versus Streets of Philadelphia. And, you know, my vote would be for The River, which could be one of the saddest songs ever.
One of the all-time best songs ever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so this is one of those private groups on Facebook. So you need to join if you're interested. It's kind of late. They've worked through a lot of the opening rounds. But I just thought it really gives you something to think about during the month of March. If you're really sad that your team is not in the tourney or has already washed out of the tournament, I recommend March Sadness as alternative entertainment. And I'll put in the show notes the link to the story OPB did about it, because then you can hear some of these songs and you can also hear her talking about why she created it. Good idea, isn't it?
It's a good idea.
Good idea.
Yeah. I like all those alternatives to March Madness. There are some funny ones out there with the just using the brackets as a
brackets
as a
are a good device.
Yeah.
I was thinking
device.
We should create, we're going to have to do some kind of bracket thing sometime.
Okay. I don't know we'll what get that. On that. Put it on Siri, it Alexa, refrigerator, create brackets. That's what we need.
We could do songs about friendship. We could even do our own songs. Friendship. Anyway.
If the refrigerator could post the shows, that would be awesome. All right. You know, Liz, why don't you tell us about the sad movie then next? We were going to go to another story, but.
Okay.
So speaking of sadness.
Oh, speaking of sadness, you know, I read in today's paper, you know, there are so many reports of former NFL players who are developing dementia. And the latest in today's paper is Gail Sayers. So his wife, Ardeth Sayers, announced, she told the Kansas City Star that Gail Sayers, who's now 73 years old, he had a diagnosis of dementia 4 years ago, and that, you know, she blames his football career. You probably know him. He played for the Chicago Bears for 7 seasons, an amazing guy, an amazing player. And he was diagnosed at the Mayo Clinic. And she said they haven't been keeping his condition a secret. They just didn't feel like they needed to announce it publicly. But I was thinking of Gail Sayers and thinking, even if you don't remember Gail Sayers from the football field and from his championship years with the Chicago Bears, talk about your sad movies. You have got to watch Brian's Song. Do you remember that movie?
Yes.
I mean, Leanne, maybe you're too young to fully appreciate Brian's. Oh, really? You saw that when you were
No, because they, you know, before you could get movies on demand, they showed it every year. It was a Dolan family tradition. So
I know.
It was
my
really.
My God, this was a.
Yeah. The Sob Fest. Yeah. That
it's
movie.
A Sob Fest. ABC Movie of the Year. It came out in the mid-70s, I think, right?
71. I'm looking at the IMDb page now. Yeah.
So this is it's a story about the friendship between Gail Sayers, who in the movie is played by an awesome Billy Dee Williams, mm-hmm. and Brian Piccolo, who is played by James Caan. And it's about Brian Piccolo develops cancer and, you know, spoiler alert, he dies. But it's really just about this intense friendship between these two men. And it is so darn sad. It really, like,
it
I
is.
Am tearing up.
Liz, am I sensing a trend with you? Your sad songs, sad movies. Yeah, gotta talk. Just open that refrigerator door and put some cold air on your face, Liz.
Julie, it's the middle of winter here in Santa Monica. It's the 50s. I had to wear my swim parka to water aerobics last week. Life is hard. Anyway, I just, you know, if you really just are in the mood for kind of a sappy but really sweet, sad TV movie, it's definitely a TV movie.
It's a TV
quality
movie. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was one of the first great TV movies in my recollection anyway. So Brian's Song, it's all about friendship, how powerful it can be. And that's why I was so sad to read about Gail Sayers today, because I just have this image. First of all, of course, I picture him as Billy Dee Williams. Billy Dee, yeah. But, you know, it just, I think of him in that movie and, you know, how loyal he was to Brian Piccolo and how protective he was. He gives one of the all-time great speeches in this movie and Brian's song, you know, when you fall on your knees tonight, I might God, I want you to tell God to love Brian Piccolo too. Right.
Oh, it's my great. God.
Anyway,
if Brian's you go to the IMDb page, you can see the monologue, Liz, you can do it. It's,
oh, really?
It's written out for you.
Maybe we should have a monologue contest. Best TV movie monologue. Anyway. So Brian's song, I recommend, just wanted to say that.
Yeah, next. Those are sad stories. That was an excellent TV movie. That was a golden age of TV movies. That really, it started, it was the first sort of bromance movie, you know, in sports. Yeah. Men watched it, men cried. Yeah, and then the real life Gale Sayers is just as handsome as Billy Dee Williams. As
I
well.
Know.
And Brian Piccolo, the whole point was he was like the third string, you know, player. And Gale Sayers was the big star. So it was an unlikely friendship. All right, Liz, nice tribute and some excellent acting. You don't often act on the show. So, thank you.
It's your softer side.
All right. Well, speaking of which, maybe a quick Operation Sea Turtle update.
Sure.
Speaking of health and taking good care of yourself, just two headlines for Operation Sea Turtle, which is the name for my personal health and wellness program. Number one, it's all about goal setting, right? You have to have these dates in the future that you're pointing towards. So, you know, I said from the beginning that April 22nd was a good date for me because I will be seeing all of you at the Santa Monica Public Library that Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m. for the Satellite Sisters Ask Us Anything session. But then the next thing I knew I had to get on the calendar, which is always very tricky to schedule, is my physical. You know how that is?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
When you're thinking about when do you actually want to see your doctor, you don't want it to be too soon. But then if you make it too far away, it's not enough of a motivator for you. So here's what I did. We've got the April 22nd. So last week I called and I scheduled my physical for 2 weeks after that. So that's good. So it's not too far away. Will help keep me on the straight and narrow when we're at Esther's Wine Bar after Satellite Sisters Ask Us Anything syndrome. But now it's on the books, going for the physical. So you know how that just focuses the mind and whatever your wellness program is. You know, you can't really change your cholesterol level probably by then. But there are other things that you can adjust so that you're sort of at your best. So early May physical, I did that. And the other thing I did this weekend, I violated one of the number one rules of trying a new fitness class. So I was up in Bend, and there's a great public facility there called Juniper Pool and Fitness Center or something, but it's the town of Bend. Lee, and I know you've been there for yoga.
I love it. It's great. Right? It's great.
It's just this amazing public facility.
Yeah, amazing.
So I decided that I was going to try a class on Saturday morning that they called Yoga Sculpt Fusion.
Oh.
And most of the discussion in the description was more about the sculpt part and the fusion part. That was, oh, there's lively music and there's this and there's that. So I don't know. I just skipped right over the yoga part of it, assuming that if you're adding the sculpt and the fusion to the description, it is not a yoga class. So so I thought, okay, I'll go. I'll try this. I do have a sculpt class here in LA that I really like. And fusion just sounds like a lot of movement to me and music. So I go and I violated the number one rule. When you're in a new class that you've never been in before and you're not sure if you're going to like, number one rule, sit by the door.
Yes, right? Yes, right.
Oh,
don't be up front. No, don't be,
Julie,
you know, make sure
no.
you have a clear exit so you can sashay out if you need to.
I don't know what I was thinking because I had to go over. This was basically like a yoga class, but with weights in your hands at the same
which
time.
Which is, so you have to be really strong already.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. It's not, I don't like yoga with weights. It's not good for me, but yeah. And it's usually attracts super fit people.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. thank you. So I was like 10 minutes in and I was like, now I'm trapped because not only was I in the far corner of the room, but I had put all of my stuff in a cubby that would have required me to walk past the instructor in the front of the room and get my stuff from the cubby. So again, rule number one, sit by the door. Rule number two, leave your things outside. Do not put your things inside in the cubbies. So I was trapped for an hour. I survived it, but barely. So that's just a good note to self. Sit by the door. Though I do find that in all classes, I spend the whole time thinking about how much am I hating this? Am I hating this a lot? Am I hating this a little? Am I really good class? Oh, here's another mistake I made. The class started at 9:45 a.m.
Yeah.
But in my mind, it was 9:30, but whatever. So I looked at the clock and all of a sudden it was 10:15. I'm like, this is great. We only have 15 minutes left. Because I miscalculated the start time. Then it got to 9:30 and she was going and going and going. I'm like, oh my God, that's right. The class started at 9:45. It's only 10:30. So the next day I just went back to water aerobics. That's where I belong. I was in the very nice water aerobics where Lee and almost everyone in the water aerobics class, I was looking around and like, these people, everyone looks like Angela Merkel. It's sort of good. That body type, that haircut, that. There's nothing like the yoga people. Nothing.
You got to find your people, Liz. I think that you were the first to say that.
Anyway, so that's my Operation Sea Turtle. Going swimmingly in general, but making some adjustments in the plan as it rolls out.
All right. Excellent, Liz. Well, that's good because I wanted to give a few updates so I can do a few updates. Julie, we know at any moment now you have to go to apparently a better event. So
yes, I'm slipping away. Okay. I have to talk about my stuff is outside. I'm by the door. You're not even going to notice that I'm gone. I'm just going to slip away.
Okay. First on the updates, people have asked about the dance class. All right. No one's asked, but I'm just going to tell you about the dance class. I mentioned that I was moving forward with my dancing career and I had was starting the second group class where we were learning the choreography to the 70s disco classic Car Wash. Props include a towel. And so we're about 3 weeks in now. And I can tell you this, I am a little bit in over my head because this is really more everybody, my teacher's a ballroom teacher and everybody else has taken ballroom. So this is really more the ballroom version of hustle. So it involves like precision footwork. So less dancing with your heart and more dancing with your feet. So it's been good. I mean, I really, really, really have to focus because I don't naturally know some of these steps like the drunken sailor that other people know because they've taken ballroom. So
the drunken sailor is a thing.
That's a thing, Liz. Look it up. YouTube it. So so last night, as for inspiration, I watched Dancing with the Stars. I haven't actually tuned into Dancing with the Stars in years. Well, they were still stars on it when I last watched it. But there are some stars this year, and I only caught the last four numbers. But there's a football player on, and he danced to Bruno Mars' 24 Karat Gold. So I feel a connection with him. So,
oh, sure. Yeah.
And
okay.
He did very well. And then Simone Biles, no surprise, just killed it. She was the last person. She danced to tango. She's going to win. But this football player.
And she should.
Yeah. She should. Really? How about Mr.
Yes,
T, Julie? How about Mr.
No,
T?
No, she's fantastic. Come on.
Well, Mr. T just stood there basically with his arm crossed and let the dancer dance around him, which is a good tactic if you're Mr. T. Anyway, so that's going well. No further up to no public. We are just working towards going back to the Rashady Acres retirement home. We're going to do two numbers. So
that's a goal, Leon. You have it.
It is.
It's impressive.
It is. I do enjoy the towel usage. It's fun to work with the towel. So, but whoo, it moves fast, the hustle. I have to say, I like this dance class because while we're in there, there are also like four other dance teachers teaching ballroom. Like it's just a free for all in the actual studio. And so you only get your music like every four songs. Otherwise, you're trying to dance the hustle to, well, last week someone was practicing like a quick step to Lady Marmalade. So we were doing it to that. But one couple, it's always, you know, there's always one couple who's learning like their first dance for their wedding. And invariably, it's a country song. So every time a country song comes on, we all do a line dance, which is fun. It's just in the middle of our disco. Very enjoyable.
It's good. It sounds like you don't have time to just stare at the clock tick down, minute by minute.
Liz,
the way you
don't.
Do.
But the way Liz is enjoying her fitness.
I know. I just feel like with the meditation in this, I don't know, Liz. I don't know. If you like the aqua aerobics,
it's not my thing.
Stick with it. Yeah, I'm surprised that 90 minutes goes by fast and we're working it. All right. Another update would be my suburban farm in the backyard. I boldly set out a farming plan in the fall, being an empty nester. We created a big garden back there. I knew the first season was a test season. We had a lot of great rain. In fact, we had so much great rain that it actually ruined some of the plants. Who knew we could have too much rain in Southern California? But I'd like to thank Jenny from Iowa, who did a photo analysis of my purple cauliflower. And they apparently the plants were stressed. You know, she's stressed in some way, either too much heat or too much water. Because what I had was big, beautiful, gorgeous leaves and no actual head of cauliflower in the middle of the plant. So when you're standing in my kitchen, it looks like I have an unbelievable garden. But if you go closer, there's nothing in the leaves. So that plant was a wash. But the good news is I only spent like $3 on a single packet of seeds. Like I grew these from seeds. So I'm proud to announce I have two small heads growing out of like 10 plants. So I'll take it. It's first season. Got overwatered. I don't know if that will ever happen again. But otherwise, we're moving forward with the spring planting. Looking good. And then finally,
okay, congratulations.
Thank you. And then finally, Steffi, you know, we adopted her in early December. And someone on our Facebook page had also adopted a shepherd and said it takes about 6 months for full acclimation. And she was a good dog when she got here, like had some skills and she wasn't crazy or anything. But now she's a very good dog. Like she's a good dog. We have adopted an excellent dog. But I can see every week she gets a little more comfortable, like this is her home. No one's going to take her away. You know, she has some funny, quirky personality traits. But the one that's baffling to me, I guess she must have grown up in an apartment or a condo. She does not enjoy going outside. Like,
really?
No. Like, she'll go for a walk or she'll eat her dinner out there. But if given the choice between sitting in a house or outside in the backyard, she will pick the house every time. Like, wow. Even when I'm out in the garden, she comes out, she looks at me, and then she goes back in the house. I mean, it's just very weird. I guess she's really an apartment dog. It's like, or she's figured like, I love this house. This house is fantastic. I'm sticking with the house. I don't know.
Yeah, I always said Ferris was a condo dog. He was just like born to live in a condo. He enjoyed going for a walk, but no, he would just as soon sit on the living room couch.
Yeah, I guess. I just, we've had, you know, we raised two other German Shepherds from puppies. So they learned to sit outside. They loved it out in the driveway. They'd sit in that driveway. Our other first German Shepherd just sat on the front porch for hours all day. Sometimes they would sit outside in the car, like I'd open up the back of the car. So this is just weird to me that she loves everything. She seems very happy to see us. She likes the friends. She only doesn't like the yard guy and the mailman. But other than that, she likes other dogs. But like, even if we open the front door, she does not go out the front door. Like, I am not going out of this, not going out of this house. This is funny.
I think that's sweet. That's, she's just sticking with you. That's good.
She's sticking with us. But it's exciting news this week, Liz, because we're starting a group obedience class. Now, I've never been able to do that with my other German Shepherds because they didn't particularly like other dogs. They were not friendly on the leash to other dogs. So, but Steffi's very friendly. And so they have a group class down at the Rose Bowl. So she starts Wednesday night. We're doing it. Group class. She has some basic skills, but she needs to brush up on a few things. And she needs to I'm trying to work with her on my own, and it's not that successful. So we're going to class Wednesday night. We're just going to walk down there, and we're going to give it a whirl. And hopefully, you know, she'll be the star of the class because there's a lot of pressure when you're a German Shepherd to, you know, be the be the star.
I think that's coming from you, Leon, frankly.
I don't know. Since rumor one, Westminster, I think there's an extra level of expectation from German Shepherds. But she's really settling in, and it's very nice. It's nice to have a dog. So just wanted to give you an update on that. And if you're wondering, we haven't heard her today. Oh, she's been barking, but she's locked in the laundry room now. Yeah. We wanted to achieve some level of professionalism on the podcast. And this is just a busy time in my backyard. I have some people that come and go on Tuesday mornings. And so I locked her in. Did you hear her at all, Liz?
No, did not hear her at all. Yeah. But, you know, people have commented on this a lot in the Facebook, the Satellite Sisters Facebook group. And the people that comment appear to like it. Maybe the people that don't like it just aren't commenting and aren't listening anymore. There would be no way for us to actually know that. But
it's distracting for me. That's the problem. Yeah. While it seems charming on the podcast, it's very loud in the house. It's very loud. So, and I think.
But I love when people say that their own pets hear the barking and react in some way. I like that. Maybe they don't want that either, but I think that is actually very sweet that all of a sudden their pets are more alert.
All right. That's it. Those are the updates. Did you go to Beauty and the Beast this weekend, Liz? Did you take that in?
I did not take that in. Yeah. You know, I was in transit. I went up to Bend on Friday, came back on Monday. So had a good time up there in Central Oregon. But no, it looks like the rest of the world went to Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, great. And now the rest of the world apparently is standing in line at Disneyland and Disney World for these commemorative cups. There was an article in the paper. There are these plastic cups, and inside the middle is a rose, you know, the symbol. Have you ever seen Beauty and the Beast?
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
But I.
No.
I've seen the poster.
It's funny. Yeah. So you see the rose, like in the glass thing. So.
Oh, I saw the James Corden crosswalk version.
Oh, okay. Then that's good. Yeah.
So he had the rose.
Yeah. You know the basic story. So now these cups have become collectibles, and they, you know, Disney, how brilliant they are at their products, you know, creating a demand for their product when they're really, I'm sure they have millions of them in a container ship somewhere, but they're only allowing a certain number of cups out, and you can only buy two cups apiece. So there's a story in the LA Times, people waiting 4 hours to buy a $13 plastic cup. So.
So that's what you're doing later this week?
No, I'm just saying that's something. We got to get one of those. We got to create that
that's
kind
true.
Of demand.
Well, we have a prototype product that we believe we may be testing at the April 22nd event.
Right.
Now, I hesitate to even mention it because I know that those of you who are not coming to Southern California for the event will be bitter about the fact that you may not have access to this prototype product. But we just need to do a small scale test. And so we're going to do that. And then it's possible that we might be able to make this available online along with some other things. But because did you see the picture in the Facebook group? Oh, no, I don't have it in front of me. Of the woman who fished out her classic Satellite Sisters retro sweatshirt, Liam.
Yeah, God bless her.
Oh, my
God. I know.
That's beauty.
Speaking of Brian's song and the Equal Rights Amendment, I mean.
Yeah.
Really?
I feel like our retro product line might even be different than the current product line. But the retro hoodie, maybe we bring back the retro bathrobe. Who knows? I shouldn't even be saying these
things. Don't even say it, Liz.
Yeah.
Just
because
you know. But yeah.
There's product testing going on. I hadn't thought of something as simple as a plastic cup. That's actually genius because it's so cheap and easy to manufacture, and it doesn't come in sizes.
Nope.
It's that screw you up. So we're going to test things that do not require sizing. Yeah. Anyway. That'll be exciting to check that out.
Yeah, that's just a reminder. Santa Monica weekend, April 22nd. I think the suites are almost sold out, but for more information, you can go to satellitesisters.com. Also, we will be giving away an Away carry-on bag at the Santa Monica event. It's that carry-on bag that I absolutely love. First-class luggage at a coach price. One could be yours in a beautiful sand color because we're going to be
nice.
In Santa Monica near the beach. It's a very chic sort of creamy white. It's sand colored, Liz.
If the sand in your name, if it's creamy white where you are. Yeah. And inside the bag, we're going to put copies of our books, including You're the Best, A Celebration of Friendship. Lee, and I think you're donating your two novels for that effort.
I expect the company to pay me back for them.
Okay.
Every sale counts, Liz. Come on. Just a novelist. I'm not Bill Gates, just a novelist.
So Leanne's right. All of that on the on our Facebook page, there's all of that info. I think that's going to be fun.
Yeah.
We are looking forward to seeing everyone. Sounds like a lot of you are making a special effort to turn up and bringing your own satellite sisters with you. So nothing can make us happier. All five of us will be there. And by then, we will have mastered Facebook Live. So I know I made that promise out loud. So now we have to do that. But there's going to be some testing of Facebook Live going on in the next month or so, so that we are ready to go on April 22nd. And Leanne, have you ever tried it, Facebook Live?
No.
Okay, I think you and I need to do a little test.
We should do a test.
On the Satellite Sisters Facebook group, because the key is not just what are we doing, but where are we doing it? So I want people to be able to find it on the Satellite Sisters page, not the Liz Dolan page or Leanne Dolan page.
Okay.
So many exciting things happening in April.
That's true. All right. Anything else going on this week, Liz?
Nope. No, got nothing.
Okay.
Just going back to water aerobics, and I have ditched the meditation class once and for all.
Yeah.
That was just not, that was not working for me. But I'm in search of another mindfulness practice, whatever. But the passive aggressive meditation teacher and I just were never going to see eye to eye.
All right. Well, yep. I got obedience class with Steffi. I'm sure that will be meditative. All right. We're the Satellite Sisters. Thanks for listening. You can always find us at satellitesisters.com. If you haven't discovered our Satellite Sisters Talk TV, we do TV recaps this time around. It's happening for Madam Secretary. I am concerned, Liz, if all the funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting is cut in PBS, what are we going to talk about? Because that's about half the content on Satellite Sisters.
Yeah.
Paul Dark goes.
Well, luckily, Madam Secretary is CBS.
Yeah.
But you're right. Paul Dark is PBS. What else?
There's a new Bronte sister masterpiece coming up.
Yeah.
I thought that would be a good one for us to recap. That's sort of in our wheelhouse. So I don't know. There just could be dead air. So if you're wondering, that doesn't really affect me. No, try listening to a podcast with dead air. It's not going to be good. I mean, there are many other benefits.
Okay, public service announcement from Leanne Dolan
right.
And the Satellite Sisters.
Do you like the Paul Dark recap? Call your congressperson. I know it's a stretch. It's a stretch to connect those two things, but
no, but you have to know what is important to you personally, what really does affect your life.
Yeah.
And it could
be Paul Dark. could be Paul Dark. All right. Have a great week, Liz.
Thanks, Leanne.
And don't forget, call your Satellite Sister.